theme verse. We'll say it all together. Let's say it together. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to report this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Let's go ahead and turn in our songbooks to number 198. 198, Born to Die.
Response to the grace of God is to forsake our ambition, to give up our will, and to serve our great God. I trust that's why you're here, because your life is the Lord's, and you've come to present yourself before Him and in worship and in praise, And we're looking forward to this day in service and worship to Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Dear Father, we just praise You, Lord, for Your kindness to us in sending Your Son to take upon human flesh for us, to become identified with us, to be our great High Priest, to be touched in all points, feeling the feelings of our infirmities and yet without sin, so that You might have compassion upon us, might ever be able to intercede for us, and to give us an eternal redemption, because You ever live to stand at Your Father's right hand, to sit at Your Father's right hand with the wounds, Lord, of Your sacrifice, so plain. And Lord, You presented Your blood before Him, and it's that precious blood by which we are bought. We give You thanks and praise. We have hope. We have life in this new year to come because of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we've come to present ourselves. I pray that You would help us to respond to Your word, that Your Spirit would convict in our hearts, and that we would give not only this day but the rest of this year, Lord, to You as we look towards the future. Well, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Welcome you all to our service today, and a special welcome to those that would be maybe visiting with us, a guest. If you have someone you'd like to recognize, just let me know. But I'm really excited to see each of you here in the house of the Lord, and looking forward to, we decide we're just going to sing Christmas songs one more week. Is that all right with you guys? And really have enjoyed this time, and not wanting to move on, but I am looking forward to a new year. And Brother Dan's going to come share some things that are going on today, this evening, as well as upcoming events for January.
Okay, first of all, right after the morning service, right down front here, there'll be a greeters meeting, and that's for all those who are currently helping in that ministry, but also for anybody who has an interest in getting involved with that. If you want to come see what that's about and see if that's something, a ministry you'd like to take on, there'll be a meeting in here right after the morning service. And then tonight is our watch night service, and so we'll start in here at 7. There will be food, and we'll have a service. We'll have some games, some organized games, and then those who want to stay all the way up till 12, you're welcome to do that. So bring a board game, bring some food, and but anyway, that'll all start, kick off at 7 o'clock tonight, and looking forward to fellowship together as we bring in the new year. And then we have our missions efforts this month for January. And all throughout the month, we have different missionaries that will be coming and presenting their ministries and some giving updates. And so just looking forward to that. The bulletin has the schedule there of folks who are coming for that. And I just want you to be aware of that, be planning for that. And our missionary family of the week, the Swanson family, serving in Cameroon, they asked for prayer for a missions conference they're having coming up in January, and then also for their health, and then just for the ministries coming up, starting a new year, going forward, and they have some other specific prayer requests on their prayer letter in the lobby from December, and so just keep them in prayer this week. And then our church family of the week, Roger and Linda Geyer, right down here. Any specific prayer requests for you guys? All right. Thank you.
Amen. I do want to put my second in there to, if you're at all interested in being a part of the greeters ministry, if you believe that if someone walks in the door, they should see a smiling face, then come join us here, and we'll go over some of the things that are done. It's not very difficult, and yet it's a very crucial aspect to our church, and we really want to continue that in this upcoming year. So we'll have a special meeting to kind of get that set up for the next year. And so right after the service, in fact, I may not be back there. I may just kind of exit right up here so we can have that meeting pretty much right away. And so if you want to talk to me, I'll try to have that meeting and be able to talk with anyone after that. So that'll be my plan. Also, as we're getting ready for the new year, there's many of you that are finishing up Bible reading plans here in the last day of 2023. Maybe some of you finished early. Maybe you didn't quite finish it all this year, but I really have found that if you don't have a plan to read God's Word, you're going to read it a whole lot less. And so you need to have a plan. And some of you already do it on a little bit slower pace. But after the service, we're going to have in the back different plans that you can take through, some hard copies. If you'd like to do something on an app, I've done it for, three, 4 years running. We've done a Bible reading plan on an app that you could have. So if you're interested in that at all, please contact me and I can put you on as a friend or get you to download the app, and then you can be a part of that. You can leave a comment and read the verses through. It's kind of a different study this year. I think we had a pretty straightforward one last year, but this one's going to be based off of some genre things in the Old Testament and then authorship in the New Testament. So just a little different way of reading the scriptures, but you'll read from Genesis all the way to Revelation in 1 year. And so if you've never done that, this is a great way to do that, because you'll have some accountability and others that are a part of this, and you'll really enjoy it. And just talk to me afterwards about that. So, all right, we've got that. And also, just to mention that we do have the nominations for those who are in our leadership positions, those that terms that are ending at this today in the services, and next week in our business meeting, we'll be having a vote in terms of those who are the nominations there. So if you have any questions about that, just talk to me as well. We'll continue to sing and praise the Lord today.
Okay, let's go ahead and stand again and turn to number 220. 220, We Three Kings of Orient Are. Standing as we sing. Remain standing for our scripture reading.
If you'd like to take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'll read the first 7 verses here. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizoth. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, according unto all that the Lord had commanded, given him in commandment unto them. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt in Ashtaroth and Edrei, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you, and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. All right, as we look forward to this upcoming year in 2024, I think you'll see as we look at the message, the Lord really did burden my heart that the message of Deuteronomy is exactly what we need for this new year. And so I'm looking forward to us studying that. And so we're going to have a time of prayer and preparation for God's word that we've just heard. So I invite you to have a seat where you are and to meditate and pray to our God in regards to these truths. Isaiah Moss, would you pray for our offering this morning?
Thank you, Mr. Fortin, during this bell. All right, let's turn our songbooks to number 210. 210, Gentle Mary, Later Child. And then one more over to 227. 227, who is ye in yonder stall?
Thank you.
Young ladies, for exhorting us and ministering to us in our hearts with such wonderful truths. When we think about the goodness of the Lord, we think about the love of God and what He has demonstrated in the past and in His Word, we have great comfort. We can have great assurance as we look towards the future and what He's going to bring to us in this new year. And what encouragement of our God that was in that song. Well, as we turn to the book of Deuteronomy, I'm going to invite the young people to make their way to the children's church. I'm glad that they have that opportunity, and looking forward to, this is an introduction to the book of Deuteronomy, but I really believe that this is, you'll see why the Lord has been working this message in my heart, and I feel like it's coming out a little bit earlier than I expected, but I feel like it's of the Lord, so I'm glad to do this. It's interesting, one of the most famous Christian classics, maybe one of the most famous books and well-printed books outside of the Bible, is written by John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress. If you have never read that book, you ought to read it. It will encourage you. It may be a little tricky at first, but you'll get the hang of what's going on because it's written as an allegory. And there's a man who starts off, and he is in the city of destruction. And he knows that he needs to get out because the message of doom has been proclaimed. And so he heads towards the narrow gate. But before he can get there, he runs into the slough of despond. He is rescued from that, and he's able to make it through the narrow gate, and he sees the cross of Jesus. And as he bows down before that cross, the great burden that was upon his back that he'd been carrying throughout his life fell off. Immediately after that, he goes on to visit the Palace Beautiful, where he is equipped and prepared for battle. He would go down into the Valley of Humiliation after this and meet Apollyon and withstand his murderous attempts on his life. Along the way, the Lord allows him to meet friends, one named Faithful. And they too go into a city called Vanity. They suffer much mock and ridicule. And Faithful is killed, a martyr for the faith.
He is joined shortly after his escape from the dungeon or from the city of Vanity in their prison by a friend named Hopeful. And they go on together. See, their plan is to reach another city that they've heard about. And they pass through the Fields of Ease and are captured by the Giant of Despair. They're caught and stuck in Doubting Castle, but they escape with the Key of Promise. And then they come to the Celestial City, and they pass through the river onto the other side. But I won't give you a spoiler alert. That's pretty much what that whole was. I've given you a summary of that book. The progress of someone who's going from the place of judgment, and now they're on their way to the Celestial City of God, the place of God. You know, this is a Christian classic because it's helpful, but also because it's true. What we saw in Revelation, and I believe that there's a connection with what God is doing in our lives here and the last book that we studied, because we saw the working of God and the plan of God to culminate in that great city. We saw the destination of where our eternity is going to be. For every believer in Jesus Christ, we saw the beauty of it, the glory of it, the happiness of it, and the love that is going to be there in God. But I believe the book of Deuteronomy, which really is a beautiful book filled with many truths that touch the heart. And this is the Old Testament, this is the law, but you're going to find that there's a heart theology here for us that is going to impact our lives, that this is going to help us on the path. You need the book of Deuteronomy. You need its truths, we all do, on the way to the Celestial City. We've got a path and we need to stay on it. And God's calling us to. So I remember early on, it's been months and months ago, the burden had been growing. I love the book of Deuteronomy. It was something of a larger book, but it's in the beginning section, and it's got a lot of great truths in it. And someone asked me the question, Deuteronomy, why Deuteronomy, when they'd asked me what we were going to next? And it was kind of fun to try to think through that, but Deuteronomy is one of the most quoted books in the New Testament. By some accounts, it's the third most, and others, it's the fifth most, depending on how you take allusions and things like that, and two references. And if that's the case, Genesis and Exodus pass it up, because a lot of reference goes back to the Exodus and creation of the world, and those things, of course. But there's something really fundamental about the book of Deuteronomy. And I think you have to look no further than the temptation of Jesus Christ. Three times he was met after being in the wilderness for 40 days, and Satan presented him with a temptation here. And he responded, "It is written." And Satan came with another temptation, and he said, "It is written." And he came with another temptation, and "It is written." What's really fascinating, you say, well, Jesus knew the Bible really well. Well, yes, he did. But he knew the book of Deuteronomy. Every quotation came from that Deuteronomy 6, 7, and 8. That section right there. No wonder if he'd been meditating on those verses of Scripture, and everything he needed was right there to combat the worst tricks of the devil. There's an aspect which I know the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life by the book of Deuteronomy. He really did. You say, "I want to be like Jesus." Then don't skip this book. Because this is how he live by the New Testament? No, he lived by the Old Testament. That's what he had, and yet he lived that perfect, righteous life. Everything that he found, he lived it on the faith of God, depending upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God to help him to live that kind of obedience to his Father. And so I think we're going to find some beautiful truths that are going to continually point us to the very heart of how we are supposed to live as Christians, Christ-like ones. And so this is very much an encouragement to me. So before we dive into the book of Deuteronomy, though, I do want to just, I didn't know whether to tell you here's what Deuteronomy is all about, and then let me tell you how it fits into the Bible. I thought I'd rather tell you what the Bible talks about first, and then show you how the book of Deuteronomy fits into that overall message of the Bible. And it's really beautiful. And part of what we find throughout the Scripture is this metaphor that is used in Pilgrim's Progress, that life is a path. You know, most of us drove here, I would say. But everybody got out of their car and walked in. This is something that we don't think about too much, but our lives are a path. I could not find the cartoon that I remember as a kid. And I don't even remember exactly what the cartoon spoof was about. I think it might have had something to do with, the mom and the, taking care of a little boy. And I date myself probably 30-some years ago. So we're looking at these little cartoon. I can still see it. And the little boy is walking to his mother. And he said, he came right back. And then behind the little boy is a little dashed lines. Okay, can you imagine that? Little dashed lines behind the boy. And it shows where he is coming from. All right. So it shows his path, and it goes inside the house, and it goes up on the sofa and bounces 3 times, and it goes on top of the dresser over here, and it goes all over here, and it's all through the living room, and then it's up into the bathroom, and then it's over in the kitchen, and he goes through the entirety of the house, and he's like, and she's kind of like, where have you been? He said, I just went and got it, and so there's this aspect of, and I just kind of a little humorous thing that sticks in my mind, but there's an aspect that he says, well, this is a little more realistic to us, how about cell phones? They can ping your cell phone, and they can track every single point of where you're at. And you can have little hotspots, and they can know down to the very second, the very moment, where you're at any given time. And that they have that capability, and they use it at times to catch criminals. So if you're going to commit a crime, don't bring your cell phone, okay? Just a helpful hint, not trying to encourage crime here, obviously. But the reality is, our lives, the Lord knows each one of our steps. He can trace everywhere you've been all the way to when you were 2. And He can trace all those steps too. From when we were at the beginning, and we begin to take and to trace our lives, your life and your path has been a journey. And your journey has led you to this very room. And your journey, by God's grace, is going to lead you out in an hour and a half. and we're gonna leave from here, and we've got a continuation of what God is trying to do in our lives. So every life is a path. And when we come to the Bible, we find that this, from the very beginning, this concept of walking was used in relationship with God. Adam walked in the garden. Enoch walked before the Lord. Noah walked before the Lord. Abraham, God told him, walk before me. There is this imagery in which you and I are walking, and yet God says, I want you to walk in relationship to me. Your path needs to be a path that you're following me. Abraham is really the archetype of, he's the father of those who are of faith, and he's the father of those in Judaism, and we see that he left his land. In Hebrews, it tells us that by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, a tense idea, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was a man who was continually on a journey, not just leaving on a journey from his where he was in Babylon region, coming to the nation where Israel would be, the Canaanite land. He was continually journeying while he was there. And he becomes a picture and a type for us as well. Not only this, when we come to Israel, what happened with Israel? They were sold into slavery down in Egypt. And God delivers them with a great deliverance. They come out through the Exodus. And what do they have? But a journey in which they follow the pillar of cloud, and God leads them in the way, according to Exodus 13:21. When we come to the wisdom literature, it's very interesting that it uses the same imagery of what Israel went through as a nation. Interestingly enough, the Psalms start off, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but ends with, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The righteous are on a way, a path. The Proverbs talk about this much. It says, I will lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. It uses this imagery frequently. When you come to the prophets, talks about the Lord will take them from among the heathen, whither they have gone, and I will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. God was bringing, Israel's history was a journey to the promised land. But if they didn't obey God, which they did not, He said, I'm going to send you out of the land, but I'm going to send you back. And another journey, a new exodus, was prophesied in the prophets. In fact, before this, it talks about the Lord Himself coming. The prophets in Isaiah 40 says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Lord is coming. Talks about in Isaiah, then highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, and the unclean shall not pass over it. God has a way, a path of righteousness that is coming. When you come to the New Testament, Jesus Christ comes onto the scene. He is the Lord. And it is His way that is, He is leading in the path. So when He comes to someone that needs to follow in the way of the Lord, what does He say? Follow me. That was His call of discipleship. Follow me. Just like Israel followed God in the cloud, in the pillar, so the disciples followed Jesus in the New Testament. There's this pattern that's going on from old to new in which there's this journey metaphor going on. Not only that, Jesus takes up a journey Himself to go to Jerusalem. And in Luke chapter 9, it says that He set His face to go to Jerusalem. And for 9 chapters, a majority of the book is all about Jesus on His way to the cross. He's on a journey, a path. Jesus Himself would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. When we come to the Acts, did you know that the name for the faith was called the way? They told the way of salvation. Paul saw him in the way. But later they would be called, it says in Acts 19:23, at that same time there rose no small stir about that way. Paul said that I persecuted this way. That Felix wanted to have a perfect, more perfect knowledge of that way. And Paul confessed to him, I confess to thee that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Christianity is the way. We are following Him who is the way. There is a path and we're on it. When we come to the New Testament, we find that there are many metaphors that are ways that God tells you, I want you to walk. I'm not going to give them all. I didn't give them all to you even in the notes, but I just want to touch on some of the ones that you would recognize as the most familiar. You are dead with Christ. By the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6. We walk by faith and not by sight. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given Himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, that ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you into His kingdom. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. See the emphasis here? You and I are on a path. And there's an aspect to which we're talking about it, saying, yes, my life is, you can do a heat search of my life, and you can see all the places I've been, and God knows where I'm going to be. I've got a starting place, and I've got an ending place. I've got a journey, but I do have a place that I'm going to. So this Pilgrim's Progress is not that far off from the reality, the metaphor and the reality of our lives, that we don't have the big enough picture to see it, is so much closer than we would understand. Revelation ultimately showed us the destination of where we're heading. And so I want to say the life is a path. This whole theme is throughout the Bible. And I see it. When I see what's going on in Deuteronomy, I see it connects as a puzzle piece of part of the overall revelation of God. And so we need to come to what is the message of the book of Deuteronomy. Maybe we could summarize it this way. Stay on God's path. Let's look now here at Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we'll move pretty quickly through these verses, but I want to get to the main heart of what we're talking about here. If you want to understand what Deuteronomy is, maybe if I just say the word Deuteronomy, you may know that that's in the Old Testament, that's law, but you don't really have any clue of anything that's in it. What it is it is a group of sermons by Moses. And he is preaching them to Israel while they are in the plain of Moab. This is where we get in verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea. And so he lists a bunch of places in which are located in the Moab region. So they're on the other side of Jordan. They have not gone into the land. And so he is preaching these things. So Israel is on the move. A journey has been laid out before them, and Deuteronomy is calling God's people to stay on God's path. But when we come to the second verse, it mentions several key aspects here. So verse 1 mentioned the Red Sea. What happened at the Red Sea? That's where God parted the waters for them and they went through. So it's making reference to their past evidence of deliverance. But then it talks about Horeb. And it says, and there were 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. So what happened at Horeb? Well, if you recognize, Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. You recognize what took place at Mount Sinai? That's where they got the law of God, and they entered into a covenant with God that they would keep His commandments and His law and be faithful to Him and Him alone. So they were delivered. They were brought to Mount Sinai. They make a pledge, and they enter into a covenant with Almighty God. But then we come to the next one, Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea was the first time that they were on the verge, the precipice of getting into the land. Do you know how many days are from Mount Horeb to Kadesh Barnea? The Bible tells you. 11 days. I wanted you to notice here that they're on the crust. They're on they're at another aspect that's close to Kadesh Barnea aspect. And it says in verse 3, and it came to pass in the 40th year. Now I want to ask you, how does it take a nation 40 years to make an 11-day journey? Because of what happened at Kadesh Barnea. They were brought up to the precipice of the land which God had given to them. And they sent in those spies. You remember that? And we're going to talk about this because it's not Deuteronomy wants them to remember what happened, because this is very crucial to the understanding of the book. You send in those spies. They were the leadership of the land. 10 were good and 2 were bad. No. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Caleb and Joshua. They brought back a good report of the land and of what God can do. And the others said, they're too big for us. It's too great. We're too afraid. I can't go into that place. We can't go in. And they turned the heart of the people and they said, we will not go into the land. God said, you're supposed to go in the land. They said, they will not go in the land. And God says, 40 days you were spying out the land, 40 years you will live in the wilderness. You will not go into that land. You will not experience my blessing. But every last one of you that are 20 years old and up and had a say and a decision in that day to reject the Lord, you're all going to die and all your carcasses will be buried in the wilderness. Now they stand there after all this has happened 40 years later and two men of that generation are yet alive. Caleb and Joshua. Well, and Moses. But Moses in this book is going to die. Because he too rejected the Lord's plan. He had unbelief. So here we're at this place of decision, you might say. A new generation is on the precipice of entering the land, but they've been there before. And they better not forget what they did the first time, because they are going to repeat if they don't. Victories here in verse 4, and it says, after they had slain Sihon, the king of Amorites, which dwell in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, here's two mighty kings outside the land of Canaan, but they opposed and would not allow Israel to go through, and God gave them great victories. Those victories showed them what God would do for them if they would believe. They've got a paradigm, you might say, of what it would be like to have God's blessing upon them and have victory in the land if they will go for an advance and go into the promised land. But will they? That really is the question here. And so when we come to verse 5, it says, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moses, began Moses to declare this law. Do you know what Deuteronomy literally means? It means second law. Duo, you know, the idea, we get that word, we get the word two from that. And that's where it comes from, Deuteronomy. So it's the giving of the law the second time. A new generation needs to hear what God has said from Mount Sinai. And so there's an element to which where they are standing right here, hearing the message of Moses, is just as significant as when they stood at Mount Sinai. Because God is calling for them to renew the covenant that He has made before they get into the land. And again, when they're in the land, we're going to see. It says here in verse 6, just like Moses. Now he says, now this is the first words that Moses says in his sermon. Verse 6, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb. All right, so the very first thing he wants to remind Israel that's standing in the new generation, he says, I want to remind you what God said when we were back there at Mount Sinai in Horeb. He said, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain, turn you and take your journey. God's word to them is a renewal of what God said to them back then, before their disobedience and before their forsaking of the Lord. He's giving them a second chance. He's given the command once again, and it's take up your journey and go into the land of Canaan. Israel must do what she failed to do the first time. Go forward, trusting God. God, throughout the book, and I'm going to show you in a very kind of succinct way, but the whole study is going to be reinforcing this over and over again. God is calling these people to make a decision. You know what? It's amazing how we repeat things. You know, the kids will make the same noises over and over and over again. They will repeat the same activities over and over again. We may do something, and then they keep saying, again, again, again. I'm like, oh, I wear out a whole lot faster than they do. Sometimes they may say the same question. They may be interrupting or something. Daddy, Daddy, what's this? Daddy. And you're like, okay, he'll get the point. I'm going to give him attention. No, he doesn't get the point. they outlast me. Daddy. We can kind of be like animals in that way. You know the lion at the zoo? You know what's right along his fence line? A little bit of grass and then a path. And then more grass, right? Because he just paces up and down, up and down, up and down. Like a worn path. You can walk through the woods around here, and you know what you'll come across? Paths where the cattle or the deer have so stepped over and over again repeatedly that they develop a path. You say that our brains happen the same way. Little neurons fire, choom, and then we do something, all of a sudden, oh, wow. And then you do it again, choom, that little neuron fires through there, and you memorize something, and you know what becomes really, you've said your name 1,000,000,000 times in your life, and you don't have to worry about writing it down, you got your signature, and your little brain has gone over that so many times, you say, write your signature, and you've got a path in your brain. That's what they say. Really, learning new skills is just about creating new paths to make it easier so that those connections happen faster and faster and you don't have to work at it. You don't have to think about it. You know what? That can be a negative thing for us. It can be the old ways that we repeat and continue in. And then the sins of our fathers become the sins of our children. He's calling them here to say, you've got to do what I'm telling you. I'm bringing you to a place of decision. Will they obey? And you and I have a choice to make. I believe as I'm going to try to convince you, and that's a hard job, but I want to convince you, and I think if you look at the Scripture, you will be convinced that today you have a decision to make. And you can't walk out of these doors without making that decision. It's very powerful. Will we repeat the same failures of the past? Or will we follow God forward through radical obedience and experience the blessing of God? That is the choice before us. So, let's just take a little bit. We're going to take a little journey. We've got three different passages, I think, to look at here in Deuteronomy. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. God's call to them. What was He calling for them in this decision? So just some highlights here. You'll know these, recognize these verses well. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4, He says, "Hear, O Israel, listen up. You need to hear Me. The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." He's calling for a love for God. And when Jesus said, "What is the greatest commandment of the law?" He says, right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you've got the heart theology that will drive your life and guide everything you are. Just like the nation of Israel, they were called to love God with all their heart. You and I are called the same way. We've got a decision to make. He says, "And these words which I command thee this day." There is a real emphasis. And now you're going to pick up on these next few passages. He keeps on mentioning the day in which He is giving them the command. And that's really important. It's also daily obedience. Just look back at verse 1. "Now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord God, your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land wherein you go to possess." So it wasn't just that, hey, you need to obey and get into the land. But when you get into the land, here's the thing that is going to become clear. Maybe not in this message, but as we go through Deuteronomy, their journey doesn't end. Just like they entered in with faith and obedience to God, they have to continue to live in the land with obedience and love to God. And the journey in the land continues. It's really a journey to His presence that we'll see in chapter 12. It's really amazing. So if you want to, what's going on here is what God's saying is, the very blessing that I'm calling for you to have in this moment, at this choice, you're on the other side, you're on the outside looking in, but you go in, you choose to go in and obey Me, that's the very type of choice that has to continue to be made while you're in the land. Every day loving God, every day obedient to Him, every day choosing Him. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 22. Deuteronomy 11, 22. This, and I should say that Deuteronomy is split into three parts. There's the first part, Deuteronomy 1 through 11. The second part, 12 through 26. And the third part is 27 through 34. And it's very, very interesting. It's very beautiful. And you see that the way it ends in verse 11, chapter 11, is the way it's going to pick up in chapter 27. And we see this challenge that Moses is laying down before them. "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal." Well, let me see if I can do this really quick. I want you to see these mountains. Oh boy. Okay. It's going to be a little bit harder than I thought. I'm going to pull it up here. If I come on. Well, a link was supposed to be right there in my PowerPoint, so I was a little more prepared than it looks like. Okay, so you can look here. really neat guy. He does some things. This may not be able to be heard, but that's all right. I don't really need you to hear it. I just need to come on. Want to see me get frustrated? All right. That's probably good enough. Okay, so he's talking about Joshua building an altar, because we're going to talk about that at another point, but that's not the part here. And this guy right here was an archaeologist at that time. Oh, it's just, I can't even zoom it all in, so I don't know why it's doing this. You're only seeing a part of the screen. Oh, well. So do you see... Oh, boy, if it messes it up. Now I should have done it in here. But see, you can't quite see the Jordan River is there, and then right there is Mount there's Shechem, the city, inside the land. It's north of Jerusalem, Mount Gerizim, and what's cut off there on the right is Mount, and this is where it is today, what it looks like. Mount Gerizim on the left, he's pointing to the old ruins of Shechem. There's Mount Gerizim on the left, and boy, I don't know how to make it get bigger so you can see both mountains, but those are mountains there in the city. Okay, now I'm moving back so you can see the rest of it. But I wanted you to kind of get a picture of that they were going to move, and God's commandment was, after you get out of Moab and you get back into the land, you are going to get on one side of the mountain, the six tribes on one side, and then on the other side of the mountain, all you six tribes are going to get up there, and he's going to be down in the middle, and he's going to be able to talk, and they're going to be able to hear these curses that are going to go out, and we're going to read those. And they're going to submit to the curses of the law. And in fact, that's exactly what takes place in Deuteronomy chapter 27. These two mountains, so we can turn over to Deuteronomy 27. I want you to see a little bit what's going on there. These two mountains would forever remind Israel of their continued choice in the land. Will they choose to follow God's law and receive blessing, or ignore it and receive a curse? Chapter 12 through 26, before we get to that, there's just a summary of it. The middle portion of that book is the laws that will govern their relationship with God while they're in the land. This is how you respond to God and are obedient to Him while you're in the land. And then he says, this is the command about building the altar in chapter 27. And in verse 8 it says, "And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly." And he says to Israel there, "Take heed and hearken." Listen, Israel, you've got to hear the voice of God. "This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. You are at this day renewing the covenant." When did they become the people of God? In Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, when they took the covenant. He says, this day right here between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, you are renewing that foundational covenant by the choice that you are making. And so that's where they stand. And then they're actually... Chapter 28 is the blessings and the cursings that they're agreeing to, and you can notice it's really long. And then you look at chapter 27, but I really want you to get to chapter 30, and this is our last passage right here. Verse 15. You're going to hear some very familiar words. "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." There's the blessing of God. And you go down to verse 19. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the strength of thy days." This is the place where Moses and Deuteronomy is all heading toward. This is the climax of the book. You want to know what Deuteronomy is about? It's about a generation who must choose to follow God at a place in Moab, and renew it again in the land, and renew it day after day after day while they live in that land. This is the heart of God. Every day you and I walk this path, You and I have to make a choice. Will we live in the path, or will we stray from God's word? You know that God tells us by the mercies of God, we're looking at this in Sunday school, present ye your bodies a living sacrifice. Because of the salvation of God that He's given to you, part of what God wants from you is to give your life to Him. That's a choice you have to make. Present yourself to Him. I am all that I am is yours. You can use me. You can do with me whatever you want. You can use me little. You can use me great. But I am yours. This is the will of God for our lives. To make this presentation to Him. And part of this aspect that I want us to see is every day is today. Now that may sound profound. It may sound like a truism, but it really is profound. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. And if you think that my application is off, I think once you see this, you will see that no, this is not Old Testament. This is New Testament. This is for us, and this is a pattern for us. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. This apostle speaking to us in the book of Hebrews says, "Take heed, brethren, lest in any of you an evil heart of unbelief," there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. There's going to be a tendency for every single one of us to get off the path of God. Through unbelief, we will not believe what God has said. We will not say, I'm going to give my life to Him. If I just give my whole life to Him, then I'll have blessing. God says, if you choose me, you get life. Choose life. Choose me. Obey me. But some are not going to believe. They say, no, I'd have to give up too much. I've got too much wealth, like the rich young ruler. The sacrifices are too much, like John Mark. The world is too alluring, like Demas. He says, but exhort one another daily while it is called. Can you tell me? How many of you are there? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. I need you to look at those words. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. Can we say that together? While it is called today. So if you do it tomorrow and you didn't do it today, you're too late. And it says daily. So every single day for a believer, you and I are in the danger of falling away in a heart of unbelief because He says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceiving and you don't know it because you're getting harder to it. You're getting calloused. You're not moving. You're not responding. But you don't even know that you're in trouble. And that's why you and I have to exhort and encourage and admonish each other daily while it's called today. Because we have a choice to be made today. That's just as important as what Israel made in Mount Sinai. And just what they did in Moab. Today, in this room, you must make a choice. Will you choose to love God and obey Him supremely? Will you give your life totally to Him? You know what he goes on to say? For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the day of the provocation. What's the provocation? For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. He's talking about the day at Kadesh Barnea. When they heard the word of God and they didn't believe it, and they didn't follow it. He says, But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not, unbelief? So see we that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You've got a promise. You've got a blessing. You've got the working of God that he wants to do in your life. Will you believe him? Will you choose to follow him? God is calling us to make a choice. We can repeat the sins of the past. We can follow the old idolatries of our heart. We can ignore the voice of God. Every turn from the Lord began with a turning from the Lord. Every person that went away from God, went away from church, went away from Him, it started with a not choosing to serve Him. What I mean by this is every active decision to abandon God's Word started with a passive decision to ignore God's Word. Young people, are you repeating the same sins of unbelief? Is your life surrendered to God? Have you presented yourself to Him totally? You're God's, right? Wholeheartedly, I'm His. And then He sends you something you don't want to do and you complain. God, if you don't give me this, I'm not going to serve you. If I don't have this, what I want in my life, if I don't get this opportunity, I'm done. I'm going to put up a stink. You're going to see my temper. You're going to see me slouch and despond. I'm not going to be happy. Are we truly given to the Lord? Mature people. Are we repeating the same way of life, expecting different results? Continued complacency? You know, one of the most difficult things to do is after you've lived a while, say 39 years, to allow God to point out a consistent habit of life and say, that's not right. I need to change. I've lived like this way too long, and I need God's grace. Are you expecting in this new year, are you asking God to do something to change your life because you want to walk on His path? You don't want to continue in unbelief. You come to the same road where you've fallen over and over again, and rather than repeat Kadesh Barnea, you want to go forward for God. This book will tell you how. Don't let your inconsistency in the Word and prayer plague you. It doesn't have to. You can make a choice, and by God's grace, have Him empower you to live a new life. Don't let ongoing sins dominate you. Oh, and we're so good at rationalizing. Oh, we're so good at justifying. Oh, the poacher was caught. What are you doing out here with that gun? Oh, I was just out. Oh, it's just for protection. Just out picking mushrooms, he says. What's that in your pocket? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a hare. Oh, it's just a little rabbit. There's an aspect to which, and this is a real story, not told a long time ago, but the point is, at first we'll deny it, and then when it's exposed and we see it, then we minimize it. We never identify it. We never say, no, that's wrong. We never confess that we're guilty. That's the heart of a human being. How hard is it for God to get us to the place? And yet that's why it's only God's Spirit that brings us to repentance. Where we'll actually acknowledge that what I am doing is wrong and I want to go forward for God. I want forgiveness. And say, oh, it's just a little sin. Just a little viewing. Just one chocolate. Just a little anger. Just a little sleep. A little folding of the hands to sleep. A little selfishness. A little fear. A little anxiety. A little unfaithfulness. Just a little late. Just a little tight and immodest. Just a little game. Consume my time. Just a little insubordination. Just a little pride. Kadesh Barnea, you're at a choice. Will you love God with all your heart? Or will you turn away? It's not so easy. We can say, oh yeah, I'll choose God. Will you? Will I? Do we understand what it means to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart? But the reality that really struck me is that every day I stand in the valley of decision. So that those little small choices that I'm making are just as big as Kadesh Barnea. Satan's duped me. He's deceived me. And made me think that those things are marginal. Oh yeah, I got things right with God a long time ago. Oh yeah, I made that one big commitment back then. Oh yeah, I served God in the past. But God says, while it is today, if you want the blessing of God, if you want to have the life that comes from intimacy and fellowship with Almighty God, you must choose Him. Will you love God with all your heart, or will you depart from an unbelief? Will you live in blessing and enjoyment of intimacy with God, or will you struggle in on reaping the fruit of your own way? Will you know confidence in prayer, or will you experience powerlessness in prayer? You will decide today, and you will decide again on tomorrow's today. And every day that you live long enough to call today, make today a day of renewal. Make today a day in which you submit to the Father's plan and commit to live for God's glory. Today, make that a day in which you commit to say, like the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ. I am consumed with a passion for His name and His glory and evangelism of His great cause. Make that today. Make it today in which you say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to hear the voice of the blessed Spirit of God. And I'm going to follow Him. We're going to find that you and I can't do that on our own. The book of Deuteronomy is going to stamp that reality on our hearts, because what do they choose? What does Israel choose? After hearing all of this and the decision seems like so clear, choose life! And the end of Deuteronomy ends with a prophecy that they will choose death. You cannot do this on your own. You have to have the power of Almighty God. And it doesn't end with that prophecy of death, but it ends in the prophecy of a new covenant that you and I experience today. That we can live by His grace and His blood the way that He wants us in His path. You will decide today. What will your choice be? I invite you to stand as we sing a song of contemplation. A song that talks about the way of the Lord. Is it your heart to give your entirety to Him? Has God convicted you about some things in your life that says, that's not a part of my path, that's not my way? Give them to Him today. Renew yourself. Commit yourself. Become the people of God this day by saying, God, I'm going to follow You no matter what happens. I'm going to surrender my life to You. I'm going to obey my parents cheerfully and joyfully every day, because I'm going to choose to love You in this day. Let's sing this song out with our hearts to the Lord.
Page 89, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt Thy tender mercy, who through life have been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. gives me grace for every trial, and live with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see.
Amen. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you this evening, and the joy that that will be. And we meet here at 7 o'clock, but don't forget before then, before you leave, if you're interested at all, God's burdened your heart to be a greeter, we'll meet right up here and have a quick meeting. So I'll ask Brother Kenny, would you mind closing the floor for us?
Heavenly Father, just what a challenge that you've set before us this morning, Lord. So, Lord, I pray each of us would just consider the message we've heard this morning, Lord. Lord, that we would live in complete obedience to you, Lord, that we would love you with all our hearts, soul, and mind. Lord, I just pray you'd go with us today and bring us back tonight with your will. And Lord, we just again praise you and thank you for your word, for your son, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.